as students realize, they have to think better questions and either ask better questions to the AI or prompt it more specifically. That whole process is critical thinking.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mentioned something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by my AI resources. Head to classtechtips.com/AI to access my free ebook with ChatGPT prompts, information on my AI and education membership, details about my quick reference guide, and links to every blog post I've written and podcast episode I've recorded about artificial intelligence. For everything AI, head to classtechtips.com/AI. This week's episode is titled Using AI in the Secondary Classroom with Becca McLaughlin. Becca is an instructional technology coach in Wisconsin who gets my weekly newsletter every Monday. She replied to one of my emails to tell me a bit about what her and her team are working on with AI in their district. I knew right away I wanted to have her on the podcast so you could hear the story too. Let's jump into the conversation with Becca. Welcome to the podcast, Becca. I am so excited to chat with you about how you all are approaching AI in the secondary classroom. And before we get into all of that, can you share with listeners a bit about your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I am a secondary instructional technology coach, and I'm going to echo what I've heard other coaches say on the podcast, which is that every day to day is completely different. So I actually took on this role during the pandemic, which meant everything was trial by fire. Very early mornings, hopping on Google Meets with teachers. We were all learning a new LMS at the same time. So that was a really interesting way to start this role. And then I'd say since then, as we've all, you know, sort of gotten used to being back in the classroom for the most part, I've transitioned more into a true coach. So I'm teaming up with teachers in what we call coaching cycles at our district. So we're looking at EdTech tools, but strategizing how to incorporate them at a much deeper level.
Nice.
So, you know, I can work in any content area on any given day, and it might be a few days in the same classroom as a teacher all the way to a few weeks. And it might be co-teaching, modeling, or just observing and reflecting.
So sounds like you're seeing a lot of different things, right? With spending time in lots of different classrooms. And so kind of bringing that all to our conversation, you know, today we're talking about something that I know coaches, educators in all different roles are thinking about, which is setting up teachers and students to use generative AI. So why do you feel all departments should experiment with generative AI, or ChatGPT or chatbots, right? That can mean a few different things before broader student access. What benefits do you envision for teachers getting kind of a head start in spending time in these spaces?
Yeah, so we felt like teachers should experiment with it first, mainly because we are all a little afraid of it, right? As teachers, our deepest fear is that students will never write an authentic word again in their lives. And especially in those early days, the main question was, how are we going to stop students from cheating? We heard that echoed by so many concerned teachers. And we just felt like, well, probably step one is to educate our staff about what AI is, kind of the that least bird's eye view of what this technology is and what it can do, and then really help educators strategize ways that they themselves can use it. So if they're able to see some of the time-saving value and the ability to take some of their ideas and form them and shape them, that might open up the conversation to how do we ask students to leverage it as well.
And I think that's something that I know I've seen, right, in my travels, my virtual work with different schools, is just building that foundation, right? Maybe even addressing a pain point, like some of the time-saving pieces that you alluded mm-hmm. to as well, is a really great way to get people started and help maybe not move completely away, right, from the fear or the healthy hesitation or any of right. those big feelings, right? But yeah. can give them a foundation to build upon. So what is your approach to making this feel really productive, especially for members of your community who have a busy mm-hmm. schedule, who might feel like this is one more thing to do? What has been your approach this year?
Yeah, I think that the way we framed it for staff is what has made the difference. So we know that we all have this common fear. You know, even the teachers who hadn't heard much about it, we're hearing enough of the buzz to be concerned about, you know, the intellectual integrity piece of it. So we really wanted to address that fear head on. And our building principal had a vision for how to pace this rollout of AI. So that really shaped our order of operations. So one, it specifically addressed the fears, and that was typically done in PD and many trainings we offered. Two was encourage teachers how to use AI themselves. And then the third step, and that's the part we're in right now that I'm most excited to talk about. We're now inviting teachers to develop their own ideas for how they picture students using it. How are they going to bring it into mm-hmm. their curriculum, into their classroom? And if they have an idea, I'm right there with them side by side to help bring this to life. And it's been very fun.
And just that, giving them that agency to like, mm-hmm. what does this look like? What could this look like for me and my learning environment with my students? But then not just kind of letting it go, but having mm-hmm. that side-by-side support, I think is really fascinating. And I'd love to hear a bit about maybe some cross-curricular examples of how different departments are integrating this or thinking about integrating this type of technology in a responsible way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think before I give the specific examples, I'll mention the tool that we ultimately decided to use. So the brilliant minds at our district office brought a tool to the table called Chat for Schools. So just briefly what that is, it's ChatGPT, but it's in a protected data environment. Mm-hmm. So as students use this, their PII is not leaving our district account, and it's not feeding the LLM. It's mm-hmm. not feeding that large language model. So there was one concern there that definitely helps address. What teachers are loving, and I think this is why I've had so many invites into classrooms, is the teachers also get a dashboard with their classes rostered into it. So they see everything that students are typing. They see everything that the AI is responding with. They get notified if content is flagged for various types of inappropriateness or, you know, whatever it might be. And teachers can toggle it on or off. And this is part of this spring. We're getting this kind of rolling in different pocketed classes. Come fall, every student will have access to this. So we're really trying to like be very intentional with how we're testing it this spring. So this is the part I was most excited to talk about, is the different examples in my classrooms. Mm-hmm. So I was in AP Chemistry, and as probably a lot of the listeners know, ChatGPT, at least the 3.5 version, still doesn't do complex math very mm-hmm. well. So our fabulous AP Chem teacher, Erica, she asked students to feed the AI a chemistry problem. And of course, students realized very quickly that it was wrong. It was not the correct answer. Mm-hmm. So then we asked students, okay, where did it go wrong? And we watched as instantaneously, without one question, students switched out of this passive learning mode and into this active learning, where now they're the teachers. They're coaching the AI to get to the right answer. And because the AI is generative, every student was working on something unique. Right. So it was like this highly personalized and really effective day in a classroom. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah. Just that idea too, that it help shift them and put them in that critical thinking mode also.
Yes.
So of course, there's a content piece, which is so powerful, but then also that idea that they should question, right? These experiences mm-hmm. that they have. I love that. Yeah, keep going. More examples.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So actually the first class I teamed up with was a college writing course. So one of our veteran English teachers, Darcy, she came up with this really cool writing assignment because it kind of had a sneaky surprise at the end. So initially, she asked students to write a position paper, but their goal was to get ChatGPT to write it completely for them. So what students kind of found right away is it's not so easy to get a quality paper that, you know, has citation, that has their own unique voice. That wasn't so simple to do. And every day I would come in to also teach a mini lesson relative mm-hmm. to AI. So we got into the bias, we got into the mm-hmm. ethics, the effective ways to prompt. And then at the very end, the real assessment component to this was revealed, which is they had to write a reflection on their experience using AI to write a paper for them. So it's kind of this meta assignment,
yeah.
which the reflections were very interesting.
And just what a great way to, you know, push back without pushing back, right?
Exactly.
On this yeah. idea that this is not going to mm-hmm. like substitute all the things that you know how to do. It's not going right. to give you the thing that you really, really want in 100%, right? Of the
mm-hmm.
prepare. So I
yes.
love that framing in a way that doesn't feel like punitive or a mm-hmm. gotcha conversation around this. But yeah, that's such a great example.
Yes. Yeah. And like you had mentioned the critical thinking piece. I mean, as students realize they have to think better questions and, you know, either ask better questions to the AI or prompt it more specifically, like that whole process is critical thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's what we mainly want from students. So then, okay, so those were some of the AP examples. And I'm actually in a few others right now, but we're kind of mid stride with it. But we were also curious, okay, well, how does this work with the younger students?
Yeah.
I was in a chemistry class and it seemed to be mainly sophomores. And what was a really fascinating difference is that all the AP students had heard of ChatGPT and many of them had kind of dabbled with it.
Mm-hmm.
The sophomores had almost none of them had heard of it before, which really surprised
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And so we did a live demo and, you know, you see their eyes light up and you start, okay, now we need to talk about how to use this appropriately. But that was a cool example too, because the teacher, Eric, noticed one thing he was having trouble getting students to do was synthesize information. So they could do really well on pocketed assessments, you know, concepts in a silo, but putting them all together at the end, they just really struggled with it. So he gave them a question to converse with ChatGPT about mm-hmm. that would require synthesis. And along the way, we would feed them, oh, hey, remember some of your key vocabulary from this lesson. Maybe you want to ask ChatGPT to include that. And kind of throughout that class period, we saw them come to a deeper understanding of the whole.
Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, that idea too of framing this around like, what are your expectations? What do you mm-hmm. think would be, right, a quality piece of work? I mean, oftentimes in really any subject area at a lot of grade levels, right, we look at exemplars, we talk about them yes. with students, we ask them what you would add or what kind of feedback you would give. And I like that connection to that really authentic experience with something that might on the surface feel a little robotic, but is still asking
yeah.
you to use those same muscles. So before I ask you about how you've set up this pilot, do you have any mm-hmm. examples outside of arts and sciences, maybe in a foreign language classroom that you can share?
Yes, I do. So we haven't done it yet, but we've done some pre-planning for this. The Spanish teachers are going to use Chat for Schools to create a bot, basically. So in Chat for Schools, it's called a tutor. So teachers can set up different tutors and calibrate the AI to work more specifically. So in this case, they are going to design a tutor that will act as the mothers of Plaza de Mayo. So the plan is that the AI will converse as if they are one of those people in history, and students can converse with them to learn about the event itself.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be very cool. And I think that the expectation there is the conversation will happen in Spanish. But then also to your point, like I think I get where you're going with that too. All along the way in these pilot classes, we always have an EL population in every class. So while we're doing some of this live prompting and we're giving some tips for more effective prompts, I usually talk with those students at the side and mention, hey, why don't you just ask if it will converse with you in whatever that language is. We've done Spanish, Persian, and that really highlights a key difference between a Google search or a Google Translate and AI. Like, this is your ability to really have a conversation. It is much more authentic.
And that's a good thing to consider too, especially, you know, at a secondary level, you might have students who are writing, right? Not just conversing, right? But writing in a second language or an additional language. And so this idea that they can work within the space, right? Really asset based, right? With all the things that they're coming into an educational experience with that, you know, in some settings might not be, right? As I don't want to say valued because maybe it's not incorporated, I guess, right? In a way that feels organic, even if the value is there, right? It might just not be part of the everyday. So you mentioned that you are piloting this, right? In a few different spaces. How is this all going so far?
Oh my gosh. I think it's going very well. I mean, I kind of get to come in with, you know, my spiel. I have like a 30-minute lesson that I do with every class about the bias ethics and misinformation. But that's, I feel like what that does, it kind of primes students to think more critically about it. And then we launch right into the idea that each content area teacher has developed. And it's been very cohesive, I think. And I do want to say though, we have felt that priming for students has been very important. Having the deep conversation, the deep reflection about appropriate use, not only appropriate use, but also how it may not be right all the time. And that puts students in a state to really use it as a learning tool. I will say that earlier in the fall, I was in a class where we didn't do that. We just kind of jumped right into the AI. And that's where I started hearing a lot more murmurs from students about like, oh, great. Oh, it's going to do all this for me. Right. So I think it's the way that we frame it for students that will make the difference.
So let's talk a little bit about that framing for students. You mentioned some of the priming that you do, right? The mini lessons that you share. Are there certain areas, maybe around bias and misinformation or ethical consideration, that you found really resonate with the groups that you're working with or that is high priority, right, for your school in terms of bringing to students?
Yes. And actually, I think you'll link to them. I have the Canva presentation that we base this off of. I see students respond to two pieces. So I share an example with them of a prompt that I had tried out. I asked ChatGPT to give me top qualities of a female leader. Okay. And it gave me a list of five things. And so I show those on the board. And then I'm like, all right, I asked the same thing, same exact prompt, same thread even, but for a male leader. And here's the list it came up with. And I just post that on the board and I asked them to talk with the people around them about what they notice and what reactions they might have to it. And it's interesting because, you know, it's not like an evil list or anything like that, but there's certainly different qualities that show up in each of those lists. And we talk about, okay, well, might be true, but is it always true? And they, of course, say no. And I'm like, well, there's a great example of bias being reflected back to us through this AI. It only knows what we've trained it on, at least for now. It's just a reflection. So we really have to be aware of that. And then at the end, to get into the ethical component, I figured, let's just ask students some questions and see how they feel about it. So we let them talk in groups, and then we usually bring it back whole group to share out some of the bigger takeaways. But some of the questions, for example, first one we post up there is, how do you feel about teachers using AI to grade your work? And there's usually a pretty strong reaction to that. You know, of like indignant, like, no, I would not be okay with that. And then, okay, is grading different than feedback? How do you feel about it giving you feedback? What if the teacher doesn't have time to conference with everyone in a class day, but they can use AI to give you fast, responsive feedback? How do you feel about this? So those conversations have been really eye-opening, and I like that we're framing them as questions for now.
I think that's such a powerful way to introduce this, especially for educators who are listening to our conversation today and are maybe struggling to say, like, how would I answer this question? Or how would I address this if a student, a family member, a colleague brought it up to me? And just like you said, this can stay open-ended, right? As we're continuing to converse about this. And I love that idea of posing this to students and really having them talk it out and look at AI and the use of generative AI from a few different perspectives. So, you know, if a listener wants to bring generative AI into their school community or their classroom, and if they're feeling that there is some resistance, you know, what is a piece of advice you would give them?
I think I would tell that person to think about other times where innovation outpaced preparedness. So the one example of that that comes to mind for me is social media. I've been watching a lot of like Tristan Harris. He's the guy who did Social Dilemma. He's a leader of the humane tech movement. He has a lot of great talks that I've watched and I would recommend, where he makes this comparison to the dawn of social media and how we just really weren't ready for it. And we know there have been some pretty significant negative impacts, especially on our young people. So especially when talking with teachers, I kind of make a similar comparison. You know, it's here, it's happening, it's not going anywhere. So we kind of have a choice. We have this small window of time where we might be able to get a little bit ahead of things and maybe coach our students and ask them to be reflective on the use of this technology before they actually use the technology. And that is a very small window. So let's take advantage of it.
And I love that framing because I do think it resonates, right? We've seen different things come in, not just into education, but in different spaces that we inhabit. And this idea of really getting everyone ready, right? Or preparing ourselves to navigate these spaces is just a good thing to bring into these conversations, right? And that context, those examples that you shared, I think are really powerful there. So Becca, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Wow. Well, just email me. I'm becca.learningtech@gmail.com. And I would love to hear from other people and other ideas from different districts. It'd be awesome.
Perfect. Well, I will make sure to share that so anyone who's on the move today can come back to the episode. They can click, they can check out some of the resources that you mentioned. But thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story with listeners.
Thank you for having me. This was very fun.
It was so much fun chatting with Becca today. And as I mentioned, she reached out to me by replying to one of the emails that I send out. On Mondays, I send out a weekly newsletter to just about 30,000 people. Get that each Monday. So if you want to get the newsletter too, it's totally free. Just go to classtechtips.com/news to get the newsletter, or you can find the link right on the landing page to my website. I'll put it out there for you to explore in the show notes as well. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's episode. Encourage your colleagues to try out AI for their instructional planning. Invite teachers to develop their own ideas for how to use AI as a learning tool. From tutoring to critical thinking, explore several student-friendly use cases. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Becca, by getting to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding episode 258. This episode is sponsored by my AI resources. Head to classtechtips.com/AI to access my free ebook with ChatGPT prompts, information on my AI and education membership, details about my quick reference guide, and links to every blog post I've written and podcast episode I've recorded about artificial intelligence. For everything AI, head to classtechtips.com/AI. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.